Welcome to Dithering on the Edge of Europe, the podcast about what it feels like to be European and live in the UK. I'm Carola Böhm, European, German wife, mother, academic, and living here in the UK. And with me is...
Richard McCarthy, excited stay-at-home dad, because we've just been looking at the EU elections.
Yes, I should say today is the 27th of May, 2019. We've just had the results of the European elections, and it was actually quite exciting.
Well, it was for us.
Yes, and
not
we
so
stayed up.
If you were from some other parties.
We stayed up at least until 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Gosh, it had a bit of a Eurovision feel about it.
Yeah, maybe because we went to bed late like we do at Eurovision as well. And because it involved Europe, yeah. Obviously.
But I think that's great, because that sort of excitement of a spectacle, you know, yes, we're actually also relatively pleased with the results. Yes, there's a bit of worrying there as well, but we're going to talk about that. But I think that spectacle, that people are glued to the television and look what all the countries are doing, just like the Eurovision, actually. You know, it can only be something good in terms of us being tethered a bit more to Europe.
It was reasonably good last night, we felt. But it probably wouldn't have been, we wouldn't have felt that way if we'd been Conservative Party supporters or Labour Party supporters, I expect.
But we're not. Right, so shall we just, we thought we were going to talk about three things. We're going to talk, I know that last time, the episode, our first episode, we actually covered the D'Hondt system, which is a proportional representation system, but it slightly distorts. So it's not, I guess, linear proportional. We just take a look at the results in relation to the D'Hondt system. I do want us to talk about the share of the Remain votes versus the Leave votes. Mm-hmm. And then some other aspects as well, because of course I constantly ask myself, why is the Leave proportion still so high and what does this mean for Brexit overall, these kinds of elections? So shall we get stuck into it?
Yeah, let's get on then.
So the D'Hondt system, and we've done a bit of a calculation.
And just a reminder, the D'Hondt system is where we elect a group of people from a region, and then we take all the votes and for each party, and we divide them all by one, so you get exactly the same as the number of people who voted. Then you elect the first person on the list for the party that won that vote, and then after that, you'd divide that party's number of votes by 1 plus 1, so you'd halve it. And then you look at the number of votes again, and whoever's got the highest number of votes this time, they get a person elected. And then their party has their number divided by 1 plus 1, unless it's the same party, which isn't going to be the case from this election. You do basically each time you divide by one plus however many people have already been elected in the region until finally you fill up all the spaces, the allotted spaces in the region.
Yeah. So we actually suggested in the last podcast that it distorts towards where the larger vote share is.
Yeah.
So as we look at the statistics, and we did a bit of calculation, and we'll put the link to our show notes. And if you follow us on Twitter, you'll see that we've tweeted also something in relation to that.
My very neat teachery, ex-teachery handwriting.
Yes. So if we take the Brexit Party as example, the Brexit Party gained 42% of the MEP seats, but with only 32% of the vote.
Yeah.
And that's so overall.
Just over Great Britain, because we don't have Northern Ireland's figures, and they use a different form of proportional representation.
What kind of form?
That's the STV, or the single transferable vote. That's where you, if just a quick reminder from last time, that's where you write down your preferences of who you would vote for in order. And that way, if your first preference, I think it was the train driving, train spotting society,
yes.
Political party, if they are chucked out as the first people to be party to be chucked out, then my second choice, which I think was the Ballerina Party, then my vote goes to the Ballerina Party instead.
Right.
And so on and so on until they finally get through to who can be elected.
So that means the European Union has allowed us to have two different forms of proportional representation. Yep.
You are allowed any form of proportional representation, I believe. Basically, they've got the de Hondt system for anybody who can't think of something better. And, well, personally, I think the STV is better, but...
And comes out more proportional.
I think so. I haven't studied figures for...
But, of course, what I find striking is that within one United Kingdom, we were allowed to have two different types of proportional system whilst we get a block of 73 MEP seats.
Yeah.
So it distorts more at the top end, and then the bottom end, it doesn't give the smaller parties their fair due. So it's not, and that's what I meant with linear proportion.
Yeah. So the Change UK party, they got 3.4% of the overall votes and no MEPs. UKIP, they got 3.3% of all the votes and they got no MEPs. The Greens
got 12.1% of the vote, but they only got 10.1% of the MEPs.
Yep.
But it does mean, for instance, the Brexit Party, of course, ended up by the end of the night with 29 MMPs. And if it would be proportional to their votes, they should have only had 22. Whereas the Greens should have had 9, but ended up only with 7.
Yeah, so it's not incredible. It's not perfectly fair. It's a lot more fairer than first past the post.
Yeah. But it is something to consider. And of course, this time it actually hit also the Conservative Party. So the Conservatives only got 4 MEPs, but according to the proportion of the vote, they should have gotten 6. And I find it quite interesting because... I'm very much against the first-past-the-post system. The first-past-the-post system creates this adversarial system which doesn't represent the voices in the country.
And in particular, it gives complete landslide victories to parties with, say, 37% of the overall vote. Yeah. It might be that everybody else in the country hates them, but they get 37% and they get virtually, they get a huge proportion of the MPs.
Yeah. So first past the post is not a good system. But of course, these European elections were not first past the post, were the de Hondt system. But if we go now into a general election, we suddenly have the first past the post system if we don't change the voting system before the next general election. And I did wonder...
Which is unlikely.
Well, I fancied that. You know, I just thought, oh gosh, just imagine a world. You know, the Conservatives have done really, really... badly.
Mm-hmm. And so is Labour. And
so
those
is
the
Labour.
Two main parties who are always against changing it from first past the post.
Absolutely.
Because it does better for them than anybody else.
Right. So they have now an incentive to work with the other parties to say, okay, let's put a more proportional system in place, whether that's the de Hondt system or whether that's the STV system. What does STV stand for?
That's the single transferable vote, which is where you vote for people in order. So if I vote for, the train spotting party and the train spotting party come last, you know, they were my first vote and my second vote is the Ballet Dancers Society.
Nice.
Then they'd say, you know, they'd go, okay, the train drivers are out. So your vote then goes to the ballet dancers. And then maybe the ballet dancers are out. So your third vote goes for Greens or whatever, you know.
Right. What about the train spotters?
The train drivers. I mixed up train drivers and train spotters, but you know what I mean.
Right, okay. So if we look at the results, the UK results of the European election, and there is an initial, and we'll put a link in there, on the initial BBC News European election 2019 results and maps and charts, there's of course also one little diagram of how pro and anti-Brexit parties have done, and the anti-Brexit parties, it suggests, which is made of the Lib Dems, the Greens, the SNP, Change UK and Plaid Cymru, have 40.4% of the vote, whereas the pro-Brexit parties, the Brexit Party and UKIP, have 34.9%. So very obviously there's a shift of the general electorate. They didn't calculate the Conservatives and Labour in, they left it out, but you did some calculation there, didn't you? You could, of course, argue that Conservatives, the majority of Conservative voters, would leave, whereas with Labour, It's maybe 80% of Labour is Remain and 20% is Leave. So whereas when you take Conservatives and Labour out of the picture, it's 40.4% anti-Brexit vote share, 34.9% pro-Brexit share. So there is a movement. But even if you, and that's what you have done, you've said, okay, let's take the Conservatives for Brexit, and let's take 20% of Labour for Brexit and 80% of Labour votes against Brexit, we have an estimate of 46.8% for Brexit and 52.7% against Brexit.
It is pretty substantial. You know, the amount that those people who wanted to leave went on and on and on about the difference, this indicates, you know, this is a bigger difference. So if it was such a fantastic difference before, this is a bigger difference.
Yeah.
But the I think the other thing that we looked at was that there was a swing of 5.4 down for those people going for Brexit, and there was a swing of 22.4 up for those people who want to avoid Brexit.
Yeah. The North West had 8 MEP seats.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up with 3 Brexit, 2 Labour, 2 Lib Dem and 1 Green.
Yeah.
And what actually happened here is that UKIP lost 3 seats.
So that balances the 3 gains that they had in Brexit.
That's it. Labour lost 1 seat.
Mm-hmm.
Lib Dem gained 2 seats and the Greens gained 1 seat.
And the Conservatives, who we can count as being pro-Brexit, lost 2 seats.
So overall, again, the share of seats which are remain have actually increased.
Yeah, so anti-Brexit has gained 3.
Yeah.
So clearly there's a big swing to away from Brexit.
Yeah, for Remain. And of course that's, and we'll get to our rant, but that's not being reported as much as we would actually like. So what does that mean? So we've had a shift. What does it mean for Brexit? It just did my head in to think, so what does that actually mean? So let's say we get a pro-Brexit extreme Brexiteer who is willing to go for no deal. And I'm pondering about how likely it is to crash out the European Union without a deal, or how likely it is that we will actually, in the end, revoke Article 50. But when I think about it, let's say there is a prime minister in charge at some point in the near future who will push for no deal. Parliament can attempt to take control again and legislate something which would not allow the prime minister to run out the time in relation to a no deal scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully.
And it could force another extension.
Yeah, so we'll try and find that out.
Yeah.
What they can do.
And of course, the European Union would be rather for another extension than for saying no extension, just crash out without a deal.
I think all the time the European Union have been trying to get us to make our own decision. I think, you know, that's why they've given us an extension. They gave us the 6-month extension, is because they felt that if they were seen to curtail it and just say, no, you've got to hurry up, make your decision now, then we might make a hasty decision and the wrong decision. And they don't want to push us to make a decision in that way. They want to push us in terms of, come on, get a move on. But they they don't want to make our minds up for us.
No.
And they've been very careful about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I have a feeling that the warning words, the firm stance that they had before the European Parliament election, were also with the fear that they had that the right wing and the nationalist parties and the populist parties were going to have a big success night at the Parliament election. But actually, that hasn't happened. Yes, in the UK, we've seen a big rise of the Brexit Party. But actually, if you look at a lot
of other
countries...
A huge drop in the UKIP Party.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Thank you very much. But across Europe, that feared rise of the more extreme parties hasn't happened. And actually, of course, the Greens had a fabulous night.
And so did the Liberals.
And so did the Liberals. So there's a reaffirmation of a pro-European stance. And in some ways, we have to thank Brexit for that. Going back to this notion of what will happen in Parliament if we have a Prime Minister who is an extreme Brexiteer who would rather like us to crash out without a deal. And of course, I asked the question also this morning, so would there be a stomach in the parliament to do a no confidence vote rather than no deal?
You know, the whole thing is the parliament voted against no deal before. And really, if they look at these results properly, then they should even be more voting against a no deal now, and they should be more voting against leaving the EU than before. I know that some people, this is going to antagonise the Conservative members who were pro-leave and antagonise those who think it's all okay to crash out with no deal. But it's not going to make all the other people go, oh gosh, yes, we've got to leave as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, if they do leave as soon as possible, it will still be a disaster for the UK. And it gives the UK, the people of the UK, even more reason to blame the Conservative Party for doing that, if that's what they do.
So I've asked you the question this morning, what is more likely, no deal?
I think revoke is more likely.
Revoke Article 50.
But it has to be, you can't just sit back and let it happen. But I think it's more likely that revoke will happen.
Because you think Parliament would take control or would rather do a no confidence vote
rather than... Yeah, one of those two.
You know, BBC News reported that, okay, so what might happen now in Parliament in relation to the Brexit process? And I think it was, yes, a no confidence vote could happen, Parliament taking control could happen, or the European Commission could blink and suddenly give us everything we want.
Absolutely, as if that's going to happen.
We ranted already a bit that the BBC seemed to report more on the success and the extraordinary increase in relation to the Brexit Party's vote share, which again, if you take UKIP and Brexit Party together, it's, yes, it's an increase, but it's not as an extreme increase as the BBC makes it out to be. But what annoyed me is that they constantly reported on the Brexit Party won. The Brexit Party won in most regions. They conflate the Brexit vote with the Brexit Party. They are not taking into consideration that this is not a first past the party vote kind of system. It's not about winning. It's about getting a majority share of the vote. This might be right if we had a first past the post system, but we don't.
Obviously, the Brexit Party has just taken all the voters from
UKIP.
From UKIP. So they've almost all the people who previously voted UKIP have now voted for the Brexit Party.
And some Conservatives.
And then a bunch of Conservatives, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we thought about that in terms of Change UK and Brexit. Why is it that, you know, Change UK didn't do well and Brexit did do well? Well, there's a number of reasons. I think Change UK they've got people from two different parties. You know, the people who set it up, we came from two different opposite sides of the spectrum. They're only just on opposite sides, maybe, but they are opposite sides. They've got different ideas about a whole bunch of things.
And that meant they couldn't give a clear steer of what they stand for. And of course, the name already indicates that.
Yeah, and they changed their name three times or something, and then they couldn't get a logo out properly, and et cetera. And they funded themselves correctly, because if you try and go on their website and donate to them, you have to put in your address details before you can donate a penny to them.
Yeah, but that's something positive.
That is a great thing, yes. And in that respect, they're exactly like every other UK party, apart from UKIP and the Brexit Party. UKIP and the Brexit Party, I went into the UKIP website and I said that I would donate £700 a month.
But you didn't.
I didn't, no.
Good.
But I said I would. And then I was sort of going forward, and all I had to do was use PayPal, and then I could pay them £700. They wouldn't have known where I lived. They wouldn't have known what my credit card number was.
Right. So you could be a Russian oligarch.
I could be a Russian oligarch. I could be an Australian
coal miner.
I could be an American coal magnate.
But you could be somebody who wanted to interfere with the elections and do that 50 times?
Yeah, of course I could. And maybe I need to have more than... I don't think I'd even need to have more than one credit card. How would they check whether... I don't see how they can check that I would be making more than one donation. And anyway, £700 is more than £500. So they absolutely have to prove that I live in the UK, have to know that I live in the UK to do that. And they couldn't.
Yeah.
And
so it's funding and funding the campaigns, having much more backing in relation to the campaigns.
Yeah. And there's been a big furore about whether it's legal or not, but they clearly can't show that it's legal. So I think it should be taken to be illegal myself unless they can prove that it's legal. So the challenge is out to Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party to prove that all of that money that you've had donated to you actually did come from people who live in Britain.
Yeah. Looking at the voter share and saying, well, actually, if you look at it, the main parties have an increased and a majority share of the votes. There was just no dealing with that. But, you know, I think there's a way to go to allow us as a society, as an electorate, but also political parties to get much more comfortable with proportional proportional representation and what that would mean for the voting systems. And of course, you know, what has been reported, and I think I would say it's probably a positive thing. You know, there is this notion of, is this the end of the big parties? You know, the Conservative vote has collapsed. Labour has taken quite a beating. You know, is this the end of the big parties? And we see the smaller parties rise. Now, of course, these are European elections, you know, so you can't quite transfer that kind of voting behavior onto general elections. But I think there is now the question of how we create representation in parliament. And it comes back to what kind of electoral system we're actually using.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing was that how it's reported in terms of every time we got results, the BBC last night kept on and on saying, oh, the Brexit Party have done brilliantly, blah, 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 and pointing out how many people, what a big swing that is. But it's not. It's the opposite of that. And one of their guests did point out that, did start pointing this out, but the BBC didn't seem to cotton on to it ever. So if you see that, if we look at a particular area, if we looked at the Northwest again, we could see that there was a swing to Brexit, the Brexit Party, of 31.2%, but then there was a swing away from UKIP of 23.9%, there was a swing away from the Conservatives of 12.5%. If we add those together, that is 36.4%. So in actual fact, it's a loss of 5.2% for the people who absolutely support Brexit, whereas there's a huge swing towards those parties who do support, who don't support Brexit, those parties who support Remain. So there was a swing of 17.2 to the Lib Dems, sorry, 11.2 to the Lib Dems, a swing of 5.5 to the Greens in that area, and a 2.7 to the Change UK. So that's a 16, 18, 19, 19.5% swing towards Remain. And they didn't, and that happened in every single region. Every single region, it was more and more and more. And they never reported that at all. So all they could think of to say was Brexit Party, huge, huge, big boost, and the death of, or the dying agonies of the Conservative Party and the Labour Party.
So big things to take away. There's a swing to
Remain,
and
Brexit Party got most of the people who were in UKIP have switched sides to the Brexit Party.
Yeah.
A bunch of Conservatives would have voted Leave have also switched to the Brexit Party.
Yeah, and really nice to see that those parties like Lib Dems and the Greens, who are Remain parties but also have other social change agendas, have done really, really well, and not just in the UK, but across the whole Europe.
Yeah, yeah. Well done, all of you.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll leave it at that.
and happier times are here, are coming, hopefully.
Are we tethered a bit more to Europe?
Absolutely. Well, we're pulling on the ropes to draw us back, hopefully.
Absolutely, yes. Well, thank you very much. And if you enjoyed our little show, please leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast player. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, on Dithering on the Edge, at Dithering E. And we also put some calculations up there that Richard...
Yeah, some things that we wrote on, not on the back of an envelope, but just on a bit of paper.
Yes, exactly.
Envelope wasn't quite big enough.
Goodbye for now and have a fabulous week.
Okay, bye.